I am Bart Sprenkels, and you are listening to the Aquarium Genius Podcast, episode 11. And on this podcast, I want to tell you about something that I did just a little under 2 weeks ago. I went scuba diving. and I don't know if you've ever done it, but if you're into aquariums, if you're into fish keeping, you can appreciate fish. And so can I, obviously, with a website called Aquarium Genius. I can appreciate fish. And I went diving 2 weeks ago for the first time in the sea. It wasn't an ocean, it was in the Mediterranean Sea. So if you're American or unsure where that is, you have Italy. That's basically in the Mediterranean Sea. Spain has a border with the Mediterranean Sea. And then on the other side, you have Morocco, etc., etc. So Egypt, Greece. I have to actually fact check Egypt. This is very awkward. But that's the Mediterranean Sea. And we were there. I was there with a friend of mine for 1 week in Spain. And just 2 weeks before, I had gotten my open water scuba SSI license. So I was a certified open water diver. But I never dove in the sea. Because to get the license, you need to do, or you need to make, 4 dives outdoors. I did a whole bunch indoors in like a large glorified swimming pool. And then you need to complete 4 dives before you can go out and dive on your own. But those 4 dives were in the Netherlands, and they were at the start of the year, where when it was just warm enough that they would take people outside to dive again. So I had to wear, when I was getting the license, I had to wear 2 wetsuits on top of each other. So a wetsuit is what you wear with surfing and diving, and it basically acts like a second skin. So it's a very good insulator. It traps a tiny amount of water underneath the wetsuit. Your body warms it up and it will form an insulation. Now here in the Netherlands, 1 wetsuit wasn't enough. So I was wearing a long sleeved wetsuit and then a short sleeved, I think the jargon is a shorty, over my first wetsuit. So that's what I was used to. And I was used to like holding my lips and nose because it would just be so cold underwater. And then I came to the Mediterranean and the temperatures were just very warm. We would work. It was a workation, or we were working and enjoying ourselves at the same time. So we would work in the mornings when it was still normal, doable temperatures. And then when it was too warm, we would relax and then start working afterwards. But usually we would spend everything after the hot times to do something fun. And I just got my open water license. My friend never dove before. So I contacted a dive school on the Mediterranean coast in Spain. Diving school, Javea. I don't know, I probably pronounced it incorrect. But I reached out. I said, hey, I just got my license and my friend never dove before. Can we go diving? And he said, yeah, of course, because that's kind of the way he makes money, you know, so we could. And the experience was amazing, both for my friend, because at the try dive, you go down to 7 meters. Now, this is the classic meter metric system stuff, but you go down quite far and you could still see a lot of very, very colorful fish. And I would go down to, I think, 12 or 16 meters. I think basketball players are 2 meters, so that's your reference. 6 meters is about the length of 3 basketball players. Now, for me, as it was the first time, I didn't really know what to expect. But I don't know, if you've ever done this before, you'll know what you're doing. But for me, just the whole preparation, driving everything to the boat, because you need a lot of equipment, and you need to prepare it and then move it to like a rubber boat. And then we would head off into the Mediterranean Sea. And yeah, I think it was about a 10 minutes drive. No, it's not a drive, right? Oh, English is really killing me today. We would sail for 10 minutes without a sail, but yes. And then we would arrive at this amazing rocky peninsula, basically, with a nice small bay. And there, it was the first time that I felt like a wannabe Navy SEAL, where I dropped down backwards with all my diving equipment to see the fish. And Mediterranean is warm, but it's nowhere near filled with corals and clownfish, none of that. But I did recognize fish that I've seen in saltwater aquariums. Now, as you probably know, I am used to freshwater aquariums. I always have had freshwater aquariums, and I can really appreciate saltwater aquariums, especially the coral, so the reef tanks. I wrote a whole bunch of information about those on my website, so I did my research, but I don't know all the names of the fish that I saw. But man, the fish were really, really pretty. Very colorful. Some of them were like really all the colors of the rainbow. They were even reflecting, and that was cool. I also saw like the saltwater equivalent of catfish, cleaning fish, like the ones that, and they, I know that they are common in saltwater aquariums, I just don't know the name. But these would like crawl in between rocks, and I think I was in the water for maybe a minute, and this was my first descent, and I immediately had an interaction with one of those cleaning fish, or like the ones that are hiding in between the rocks. And that interaction was so precious, because I thought that was what diving was going to be like. But then in the two dives that we did, that was my only real interaction with a fish. But I was just diving there, and I could see the fish looking at me and responding to my movement. Of course, he was super scared, because I can't imagine what it's like if you're a fish and you see a diver. But just that interaction was really good, really nice. And then we continued. We saw the very colorful fish, but I also saw a shoal / school, I always call them schools, of fish. And in our aquarium, we keep a school of maybe, I think the largest school I ever had in my 4 feet tank was 15 rummy nose tetras. And they would have the schooling behavior, you know, and you probably notice from your own aquarium or from other people's aquariums or from videos, the schooling behavior. It's like, how do they know which way they're going? But they all kind of move around the aquarium in the same way. I saw this, but then like on steroids, you know, with hundreds of fish. And I think that's the biggest eye opener, that this is going to sound obvious, but in an aquarium, the space is so small compared to the amount of space that fish have in their natural environment. And the behavior in an aquarium, from what I've seen so far with only two dives, the behavior that we see in our tanks is a small reflection of what it is in the wild. So I saw the schooling fish, I saw smaller groups of fish. I saw individual fish. I've seen fish that prefer sticking to rocks and crevices. I've seen larger fish just swim in the open on their own. Like, really, really impressive. And it made me realize that, especially from what I know about saltwater aquariums, that if we manage to recreate parts of their natural habitat in the aquarium, we're actually extremely privileged to see that behavior in our own aquarium. And that behavior of your fish is something that, if you have your aquarium for a year or a half a year, you get used to it. You know, you assume that this is how they behave. But then if you see different fish, if you go snorkeling or diving, you'll see the different types of behavior that are there, and really how impressive it is. Honestly, that's what I wanted to share with you today, that seeing the personalities and the behavior of the fishes that I've seen was really impressive. I've also seen crabs. One of the instructors, I asked him before we entered the water, what is your favorite animal? Because these guys have been diving since they were kids at the same space, so they know what's in these waters, like the insides of their pockets. I asked them, like, what can we see today that if we see this, you'll be blown away? And then I think the first answer from the owner of the dive school was pretty cheesy. He said, oh yeah, I get excited by large fish, but I also get very enthusiastic about small fish. So I think that's his special gift. But the other diver, we had two instructors with us that day. The other diver said, well, there's one tiny, tiny crab that's always hidden. But if you're very, very careful and you look closely, you can find it. And the legs of this crab are gold. Like, are shiny, reflective gold. So at one point during the dive, I think we're 15 minutes in, I saw him basically glued with his goggles to the rocks. It was quite a pretty sight, actually. And he would wave, like, signal us, like, oh, come here, look at this, check this out. And I would be the first one there, because there were three divers, one instructor, so four of us were in the water. I was the first regular diver that I was closest to him. So I caught a glimpse of the crab, and it was really gold. It was very shiny. I don't understand how it can be this shiny. And then sadly the instructor took his index finger and, like, tapped the crab, and it scared him away, so the other people didn't have a chance to look at it. I don't know why he did that, to be honest. But I did see that one, and apparently that was very impressive, and I was impressed. Then, I don't want to ramble. I want to maintain some form of structure in this podcast. But notice how I just dove straight in, like, without proper introduction, whatever. The diving school where I took diving lessons, their specialty was cave diving. And of course, not of course, I don't know if you know this, but if you go diving, you start with open water, and then you need to do specialty after specialty after specialty if you want to dive deeper or to caves or in the night, or for all these different topics there is a specialty. And they were experienced cave divers, but I don't of course obviously have that cave diving specialty license. But there was a tunnel, and Like, if you are part of SSI or some form of authority, please keep your eyes closed or ears, put your hands on your ears. But there was a tunnel. Like I mentioned at the start, we were diving near a peninsula, a very large rock formation in the water. And we started at the inside of the bay area. But the second dive, the one that was not a try dive anymore, would start at the bay, like inside. Then it would immediately dive through a tunnel underwater to the other side of the rock formation. And then we would dive around the large rock. And that, just that tunnel, I think I'm not allowed to call it a cave. Probably it wasn't a cave because there were no narrow spaces, but it was just dark, you know. It was full on dark. And the sun was very bright because Mediterranean, Spain, 30 degrees Celsius. I think that's 80 degrees Fahrenheit. I think I remember this from writing about discus fish. I'm not sure. But it was very bright. But then we would, like, the instructor went first. I was right behind him. And he would just disappear into darkness. I was very, very close behind him. So I could only see his fins. And then once we were nearing the end of the tunnel, I had this amazing Discovery Channel a view, because I would look up, like the exit was slightly up. I would see this circle, this large circle of light, which was the exit of the tunnel. And then in the middle, I saw the silhouette of the scuba diver, of the instructor. And then because there was more light entering the cave, when I looked around, I saw these very pretty rock formations. And this rock is also what I recognize from saltwater aquariums. I saw a whole bunch of live rock that you can buy in the store that's just there. But that view was awesome. And when I looked up in the tunnel, you would see the bubbles, because if you exhale, you exhale a lot of bubbles, air bubbles. I would see the bubbles crash into the ceiling of the tunnel and kind of disperse, but the air couldn't go anywhere. So it would take a lot of time and current before the air finally reaches the end of the tunnel. But just overall, that was something I distinctly remember. There was another time during the dive I thought I was cave diving, because we were very deep in the sea, and it was getting more narrow, just the rocks around us. There was a large wall of rocks to the left of us and a large wall of rocks to the right of us. And I was following the instructor. And at some point, he starts swimming upwards. So I follow. And I look up to the instructor. And suddenly, his head is above the water surface. So it's like a mirror, you know, the water surface. Just like when you go to a swimming pool. If you look up, you'll see the reflection, the water surface as a mirror. And suddenly he comes above water. And I thought, like, I was seriously convinced that that was an underwater cave that he was showing us. So I dove up next to him. It was very dark. And all we could see was rocks. So I was like, oh my God, how deep is this cave? And then he looked confused and I said, well, we just dove to 6 meters. So that's 3 basketball players. And then I turned around and I saw the horizon. So it wasn't an underwater cave, but the experience still counts, I guess. Okay, let's keep it at this for now. This was aquarium related, fish related. It was my holiday special. I'm sorry if you expected it to be about aquariums more, but just swimming with the animals I enjoy so much was really a special experience. And if you're not terribly frightened of the ocean, and if you're healthy, I would recommend doing a try dive, because you would go down to the level of three basketball players, which is quite deep, honestly. And you would see all this, these fish and rocks, and also rock formations that would look amazing in an aquarium. I saw sea stars. I saw sea urchins. A lot. It was just really impressive. So I would highly recommend, at one point in your life, go scuba diving and get inspired for your next aquarium, whether it's saltwater or freshwater, because I am a freshwater hobbyist, but the environment was still very, very inspiring. Okay, a short one today. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. I thank you for listening all the way to the end. Thank you for not clicking away during the thank you words. I would appreciate it if you would follow the show, if you would interact with my social media channel, send me some questions, send me your opinion. What did you think? What did you not like? And I hope that you will tune in again in 2 weeks on Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This was Bart. My name is Bart, and I will see you later.